Welcome, children, to the Silver Scream Fiends podcast. Prepare yourself for some killer kino, some spooky cinema, and plenty of tales of terror. Relax, grab a drink, make yourself at home, and listen to another evil episode. And hopefully, you'll make it out alive.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Silver Scream Fiends podcast. I'm your host, Sam.
And I'm Blake.
And I am basically racing against the clock for my bowel movements. But before we worry about that treachery, we're going to get into Jordan Peele. But before we're going to get into everything about Jordan Peele, we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. First of all, since we have been, I almost said live. I'm like, what am I, 80? since we last recorded, we've unfortunately lost Angela Lansbury and Robbie Coltrane. Who were very big in
friends
the
of the show.
Quite good. They were personal friends of the show. Robbie used to dress up as Hagrid. He used to hold a live lobster. It was kind of like a, you know, like a fundraiser in collaboration with the lobster.com. Anyway, but yes, very sad. He was not very old. I believe he was in his early 70s.
Yeah.
And that is very sad. But we love you. Love you, Hagrid. I'm going to put like a Hagrid fan cam here somewhere. No, but it fucking sucks. Like, obviously, most people grew up with Harry Potter, and Hagrid was always one of my favorite characters, so that sucks. Angela Lansbury, also great, you know. Mrs. Potts meets Hagrid. What up? Nah, it's fucking sad. But anyway, just wanted to do a brief in memoriam. I'll play in the arms of an angel here. But yeah, very sad. Now, before we get into Jordan Peele, we could do the what we've watched recently, but I think Blake has something on his mind that
speaking of bowel movements,
yeah, I think that I don't know how you feel about. I personally didn't want to dedicate a whole episode to it, but if you would prefer, but I don't think you would want to sit there for 40 minutes and talk.
I'll have a bad time if I have to talk about Halloween Ends for that long.
Yeah, so the secret has been revealed. We will briefly discuss Halloween Ends.
Yes, briefly. I don't want to go too deep into it right now and have a schmitz.
Yes, so Blake loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. 5 out of 5. Team Corey.
Yeah, so very, very, well, it's a movie.
Unfortunately.
What really gets me about the whole thing is, like, if they were going to do an obviously spoiler alert, but if they were gonna
if you haven't seen the movie, don't see it. So just listen to the
yeah, just listen to us. So the whole thing in the beginning with Corey and his descent into madness and the transmission of evil of Michael in the town of Haddonfield into him would have been a cool concept if it was not a Halloween movie. Like, yeah. I feel like the writers sat there and combined like a dozen different ideas into one script and were like, yeah, dope, sounds good. And halfway through shooting the movie, they were like, oh, wait, it's a Halloween movie?
Yeah.
So like now we have to tie the universe together.
Which what's so crazy to me is like, this is the third movie in a trilogy. Like, why are we trying new ideas at this point? Like, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
The whole movie is advertised as the climactic final showdown of Laurie Strode and Michael Myers, and then most of the movie is not about that.
And they knew damn well what they were doing with that marketing, and they definitely. Here's the thing, I usually applaud people for trying something new, but like,
there's a time and a place.
But like you said, when you're wrapping up the third reboot at the end of a new trilogy, and it's about Michael versus Laurie, which arguably, and not even arguably, is probably the greatest fucking what's the word I'm looking for? Is the greatest rivalry in horror history?
I would say second only to Freddy vs. Jason.
Well, yeah, right, but it's they knew. Excuse me, they knew exactly what was on the line, and it's like, I don't know. There's only so much, you know, I'm going to say this right now. I don't think it was like the fucking worst movie I've ever seen. Right. This has been very divisive. However, I've been going back and forth whether or not this or the second Rob Zombie Halloween is worse. I still think the second Rob Zombie one might be worse, but
I think the second Rob Zombie one might be an objectively worse movie, but I was more disappointed in this.
Well, right, because of what was at stake. Yeah,
yeah, I felt like they straight up just like falsely advertised it.
Yeah,
you know, like it was just like, what is this movie?
Honestly, what they really should have done is taken this concept and made this Kills and then set up for the final.
Yeah, that's what Michael. I'm saying. Like, it's such a bizarre choice for a third movie in a trilogy. Like, why they should have done this in 2018, set up Corey to be like a rival to Michael Myers and then like, you know, go from there with the trilogy. But I was like, oh, maybe they're trying to like set something up after this, but then Michael kills him anyway. So it's like, what was the point of that?
Well, right. That was the most disappointing part is I figured like, oh, this kind of maybe leaves the door open to a spinoff, or maybe they're going to actually do something good with this character in the future. But then they just drop the ball on that. And I'm like, I mean, okay. And it's like, I could maybe forgive all this inconsistency between the writing and the character shit and fucking Allison, but we won't even get into that because that just angers me.
Yeah.
I could maybe forgive all of that if there were more than like 3 kills in the whole movie. Like it was like, I go to a slasher flick to see kills. And it's like, now we just have this weak, feeble Michael Myers. And
living in the sewer.
And this unhinged Hot Topic teen who has watched Heathers way too many times and wants to burn the town down, figuratively, literally, whatever translation you want to adhere to. And it just doesn't work. It comes off like too cringy.
It honestly made me reassess how I felt about Halloween Kills, because obviously I didn't like that either, but compared to this, I'll take another Halloween Kills. At least that had Michael Myers killing people in it.
At least
like
Halloween
Kills. One argument that annoys me, like I keep seeing people say, like, oh, well, in the original movie, like Michael had just as much screen time as in this one. And it's like, first of all, the original movie is 20 minutes shorter. So already you can't really compare it. And second, Michael has less time on screen in the original one, but he is the focus of the movie. In Halloween Ends, he is not the focus of the movie, so he has this tiny amount of screen time because the rest of the movie is just not about Michael Myers.
And third of all, the reason he doesn't have a lot of screen time in the first movie is because you have to build up exposition. It was the first movie in the entire franchise.
Right. Like, this is the third movie in a trilogy.
Yeah.
The 90th Halloween movie.
Yeah. So,
it's not comparable. I keep seeing people say that, and it's like, the comparison doesn't make sense.
No. And I agree with you on Halloween Kills, because say what you want about it, at least it was a Halloween.
It was a slasher movie.
It was a Halloween movie. It was a
slasher movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe I was too harsh on that.
Yeah, so in summation, not really happy with it.
Yeah,
but
I could go on and on, but I don't want to because it's just gonna upset me.
We'll save your sanity. but
all I will say is I finished the movie and I was just genuinely in shock at what I had just watched. Like I was like, I literally tweeted it. I was like, I feel like the version of the movie that I just watched was a joke, and like the real movie's not out yet. Because I couldn't believe that that's what they put out.
Yep. Well, it happened. So evil truly did die tonight.
It did.
Yeah.
It really did.
But on to bigger and better things.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the man, Jordan Peele. Now, Blake, I don't know if you were aware of this, but Joe and I, way back in the day, did talk about Get Out and Us.
I feel like I might have been on that episode, wasn't I?
This was early. Like this was before. This was even before the Midsummer episode that you were on. Okay.
Maybe I'm thinking of Midsummer. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll definitely still talk about the movies. But there will be less Joe squawking in the background. But yeah, Jordan Peele has always been interesting to me. I don't know about you. Obviously, I was introduced to him through Key and Peele.
Yes.
And I, for a while, I've always followed sketch comedy throughout its history. I was always a big fan, but
yeah, me too.
When they came out, I was like, man, they kind of like fucking transcended the genre. Like like everything they did was hysterical to me.
And I say all the time that Key and Peele was like the last great sketch comedy show. Like nowadays there's still good ones. Like obviously I love I Think You Should Leave and stuff, but like those have become a little bit more niche. Whereas like Key and Peele was like the last like huge, great mainstream sketch comedy show.
And also not for nothing, when was the last time you saw a comedic duo? They're dead. When they came around, it was special. And I know they met on Mad TV, which I used to watch Mad TV all the time, although I don't remember them from Mad TV, but like that's how they met and that's how they connected and they got really close and the audience fucking loved them. And then they were like, okay, we're going to do our own show now. But I know Peele's also done some pretty funny shit. Like he's a really good impressionist. And he also did that like 50 Cent parody song that I still remember coming out. But yeah, it's interesting because when you talk about people who dive into horror, I almost feel like comedians and comics really excel at the genre because it's like they're self-aware enough to realize like what works and doesn't work. And then they also have an element of tragedy in their lives. I mean, I don't think there's a single fucking comedian who's sane. Like, so I feel like he just had that potential brewing inside of him already.
Mm-hmm. Plus I feel like also the writing process is very similar for comedy and horror, where in comedy, obviously you have a lot of lead up to a punchline, and in horror, you have a lot of lead up to a scare, but structurally it's very similar.
Yeah.
So I think that's why like a lot of comedic writers can also write horror really well and vice versa.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. I didn't even really think about that. But yeah, I consider him in general like one of the better screenplay writers of the decade. And it's for that exact reason. But yeah, and to fucking have your directorial debut be Get Out is insane. Like it's I mean, he knocked it out of the fucking park with that movie. And I know, like, it quickly became talked about as, like, one of the best horror films of the past decade. And, I honestly don't really disagree with that. I think
it's forever, like, the way that people talk about, like, The Thing or The Shining when you talk about, like, best movies of the 80s. I think Get Out will be always considered one of the best movies of the 2010s when it comes to horror. Like, No doubt. It's has to be a top three no matter what your opinions are, because it's just undeniable how good it was, how impactful it was, how important it was for the genre. Like it'll go down as like a tentpole movie of that decade.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does such a good job at building tension and making you feel so fucking uncomfortable. Because you know, movie kicks off. We see this interracial couple, the man played by Daniel Kaluuya, who fucking his career exploded.
Yeah, and, rightfully so.
Rightfully so, because he absolutely crushes the role. As girlfriend tells him that they're gonna meet her parents, but they don't know he's black. So off the bat, you already have this awkwardness and this tension. So it's like, okay, they get in the car and they're talking, and they get there and everything seems okay. Parents are very welcoming, but he very quickly begins to see the sinister side of things. And as this unravels, as each bit of it unfolds, and you see like the black housekeepers, and you see like the friends at the house party, like it made me feel so uncomfortable, which not only is amazing he pulled that off for a horror film, but it is also great that he was able to inject like that social commentary into it, because the story basically aligns with the, you know, with racism, like with the exclusivity other races may feel when they're stuck in this overwhelming majority, you know, in this case, white people. And it's a very serious issue that I'm glad he brought to light while being satirical about it. Cause like there is a satirical nature to the film, and the fact he was able to have that balance is great. Like, I basically wish Spike Lee went in the direction of Jordan Peele. Like, Spike Lee is a little bit too down your throat with it these days. I think Peele can still make a provocative film that you can talk about without it being so fucking on the nose. It's like, and it's he, and the other thing is he is super original with his ideas. Like, the concepts also might be whatever, but he's very original with it.
And kind of like to continue what you're saying, like, since it's not so in your face, since it is a little bit more subtle, I feel like it, the message resonates more because the movie, you think about it a lot more. Like, you're kind of forced to consider the, like, definitely all of his movies, as soon as you leave the theater, like, those movies are on your mind for days afterwards. And like, so I feel as though the message, like, hits harder and it hits more effectively when you're also forcing people to, like, keep these movies on their mind, which also I think is part of what makes, like, genre filmmaking so powerful when it comes to talking about social issues, like horror, sci-fi, and I guess fantasy to a degree. I feel like they're better at, like, talking about issues than a movie that's just, like, cut and clear. This is what the movie is, message is, and, like, you either like it or you don't. Whereas, like, genre kind of makes you, forces you to put yourself in that position a little bit more, I think, because it's like, you always, I know whenever I see a horror movie, I'm always like, well, how would I react in this scenario, or, you know, things like that. So you're forced to think of it differently. And I think, like, think of it a little bit deeper.
I couldn't say it better myself. Yeah, that's definitely definitely the case there.
And I say all the time, like, it's so fitting to me that Jordan Peele was the one to bring back the Twilight Zone, because I feel like his writing is so similar to Rod Serling, and, like, he is carrying on that tradition of, like, genre storytelling, telling, like, serious modern issues. And, like, that, to me, that's always been who I'll always compare him to, is Rod Serling. I think they're very similar creators and creative people.
I still have not watched that new Twilight Zone, by the way. Have you?
Yeah, it actually was very good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did they only do one season of that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately. Maybe they'll do more in the future, but it was very good. I liked it a lot. They did some, like, remakes of some of the classic episodes, and then there was a couple of original ones that, like, I felt really fit, like, the Twilight Zone vibe. So it's definitely worth checking out. And he was a good host, too.
Yeah, I could see him being a good host. It's Peele, man, you did it.
You know what it is? He took it seriously, which I liked. You know, like, he could have you know, totally gone in a different direction with it, done his own thing, but he kind of, like, stuck to the roots of the show and, like, took it seriously, and I thought it worked really well.
He understood the assignment.
Exactly.
He did it. He literal exactly. King. Yeah, it's cool that he's, like, kind of been flip-flopping between movie production and television. Was Twilight Zone also, like, I know that was CBS, but, like, for those that don't know, he also has his own production company called Monkey Paw. Was it like a production of that as well, or was it just, like, he got hired to narrate and write?
I'm not sure. I honestly have no idea.
Okay.
I know he was on it, obviously. He wrote and directed some of it, but I don't know how it went as far as, like, production companies.
Yeah, because Monkey Paw is shaping up to be a titan. It could I know that they're, like, constantly in talks with other studios. Like, I think that they collab with Universal now, and
yeah,
Yeah, it's nice to see someone who's actually good and putting in the work getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Because we're too used to the opposite. But yeah, that's, you know, like I said, we've talked about Get Out, so we'll kind of leave it at that, unless there's anything you wanted to
bring up. I think I got it.
Then again, it's like, what else do you talk about that people have not already said? So yeah, get out, you know? I mean, don't leave, like, the movie, Get Out. And stick with Us, which is the next movie we're going to talk about.
Perfect.
God, I'm horrible.
Good transition. I can't wait for the
So, yeah, next movie is Us, which, excellent follow-up to his first. You're always skeptical of, like, what's a director going to do next? And, you know, sometimes not as good as the first thing. And I think that this was a very solid horror thriller that, again,
I remember it was a little bit divisive when it came out. Not everybody liked it originally. Personally, I like it more than Get Out. It's my favorite of his movies because I like that it's a little bit weirder. Like, when I saw it, I remember thinking, like, Get Out, this might be too deep of a Twilight Zone reference, but Get Out was very much like a Rod Serling Twilight Zone episode, and Us was more like a Charles Beaumont Twilight Zone episode, who was another writer who wrote for the original series, and like his episodes were always a little bit weirder and a little bit more ambiguous than like some of the more straightforward stuff that like Rod Serling wrote. So this reminded me more of like that side of the Twilight Zone, because like I said, I'm just like always comparing his movies to the Twilight Zone.
And I mean, there's a lot of parallels.
I like that it's more, I like how it's weirder and a little bit more difficult to interpret the message than Get Out. Like, Get Out was subtle, but it was very clear like what the message was. I think Us was a little bit more ambiguous with it, and I liked that. It took a little bit more thinking.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm glad it's been growing on people recently, because I do agree. I would say I probably like Get Out just like a tiny bit more, but I think that's just overall the quality of the film. But I agree with you in the sense that like the obscurity and the weirdness of this one is like more up my alley.
Yeah.
And I think like, I don't even know. I mean, I do remember like what I was feeling when I walked out of that theater. I was like confused and then just also creeped out, especially like, you know, when, once you hear the fucking doppelgangers like speak, it's like, again, he nails the whole atmosphere of like being unnerving. It's I felt uncomfortable in the theater. I was like, this is fucking weird. It's like, I usually like not, there's really not a lot that does that to me these days. You know, I think that like I'm at least so used to and so desensitized to millions of horror tropes that like a jump scare doesn't get me anymore. I'm just like, okay. but the fact that like he builds, he's almost hit like Hitchcock in a way. He'll take a movie and the entire thing is the suspense. It's not leading up to the big bang, even though the twist at the end of this was great. But more so speaking like in a psychological fashion, he takes you on that ride and never for a second are you like either bored or perturbed or thinking that like, oh, this better have like a crazy fucking plot twist, because you know he's going to throw you a curveball. Like I was never able to guess what could happen in any of his movies, not just Us. Get Out and Nope, which we will talk about. But I always am like, what the fuck is he planning on doing? And I think that's great when you can't guess what's coming.
Movies, his movies are marketed really well too. Like, I don't think his trailers give anything away, which is nice. Like, you kind of, you, even if you've seen the trailer, you kind of go into it not really knowing what you're getting yourself into, mm-hmm. which just shows like the power of a good trailer, which unfortunately is like a dying art form.
Especially if you're Universal. They reveal the entire fucking plot in their trailers. Yeah, it's so annoying.
Yeah, I try to just avoid trailers for everything nowadays.
Yeah, true. It's true. That's kind of how I felt with, I recently watched the trailer for Megan, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to watch it, but like, now I know the entire plot of it. And it's like, yep. I'm sure they have like some stuff tucked away, but yeah, I feel you on that. It's like, don't tell me the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, appreciate, I think, Lupita did a phenomenal job. Was this her first movie? Or like her first big movie? I don't even
know. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, she I don't think so either, but I'm trying to think of what else she was in.
She had a big breakout role that's escaping me right now. Oh, 12 Years a Slave. That was her big breakout role.
Oh, okay. I have not seen that.
And Us was actually after Black Panther too. So she was already established by this point.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I think Us kind of even just like elevated that.
Yeah, it was definitely her first horror role.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she had like been a lead in anything else, because 12 Years a Slave, she's a supporting, and same with Black Panther. So I think this was her first like big leading role. Mm-hmm. Or at least first mainstream leading role.
Yeah. Honestly, every time she interacted with her doppelganger, I was like, damn, this is, because like, I know I've seen some people talk about how they thought her portrayal of the character like was a little silly, but I think that like it to me, it would have been stupider if you went all in and tried to do like a demonic thing. Like,
yeah,
it was just kind of like just unsettling.
Yeah, which again is like something I appreciate with Jordan Peele in general. Like, some of the things that he does could be considered goofy, like out of context, but his movies he takes his movies seriously, and the movies take themselves seriously. That like, as you're watching it, you don't really find yourself thinking like, oh, this is goofy, like this is dumb or whatever, even if it is a more absurd concept. You know, like the voice that she does and everything could be considered a little bit like goofy, I guess, if you take it out of context, but in the context of the movie, just because of the way he frames it and the way that he takes it seriously, you take it seriously too.
Which is how I felt about Tim Heidecker's role. No, but just a side note, he was also great in this.
Yeah, he did. And that too, he brings a good comic relief to most of his movies as well. Like,
yes.
Which in horror is very important, I think.
Yeah, I mean, because essentially there's, to me, there are two main uses of comedy in horror. Number one is doubling down and going like completely black comedy the whole way through. You know, something right. like Tucker and Dale.
Right. Evil Dead 2.
Or Evil Dead, or yeah, any number of things.
Heart of the Darkness, yeah, any of that stuff.
Or any of like the schlocky 80s horrors. Or using horror in a more subtle fashion to break tension in certain spots. Like, I almost consider it like baby intermissions. And especially for someone like Jordan Peele, I would have to imagine before he got into horror, he probably thought, oh, a lot of people know me for comedy, so maybe I shouldn't go that route completely. Maybe I dip my toes in it and show people what I can really do. So I think like being able to be subtly satirical in his films is something that he may have struggled with at first before writing all of it, but in the end, I think worked in his favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially also like, I think more so in Get Out than in Us. Like, some of the moments that are comedic and that you do laugh at in the theater are like sort of showing how the character is uncomfortable too. Like I thought particularly the part where the dad in Get Out is like, oh, I would have voted for Obama twice, like for a third term if I could. Yes. And it's like, that's a funny line, but at the same time, like in the context of the movie, it's like awkward and kind of weird. So it succeeds at being funny and still like not really breaking the tension, which is very difficult to balance.
Yeah, I actually, as soon as you were saying that, I was like, oh, that reminds me of when Joe and I talked about it, because that line to me still lives in my head rent
free. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Like, oh God. I don't know what was funnier, the awkwardness of that or like the brother trying to like wrestle him. Like,
right. And like all of those things, they're funny moments, but they do like, you can see how that it's making the character more tense and like awkward. And like, it's like fucking with him a little bit, even though it is funny, like as the viewer. So like that takes like extreme skill as a writer, in my opinion, to like pull that off.
Yeah, absolutely. Peele, you're a good man. Good man.
He do be writing the movies good.
He's got the Peele pen. Do you think he has a pen at home that just says Peele on it?
I think he definitely does. I think he's mentioned it in interviews.
What a fucking loser. Now I would like to move on to actually, you know what? Before we do Nope, even though he didn't direct it and even though we've discussed it, we could briefly discuss Candyman, because he did have a helping hand in that. But I remember for a while people were like, "Oh, did he?" Everyone was blaming him for like directing. I'm like, he didn't direct it. Like
he did write it. He wrote it. Yeah. At least he was involved. I don't know how much, because like there's like four different credited writers when you look at like the screenplay for it, but he's one of them, so I don't know how much input he had. But I think it's even just interesting that like when the thought of remaking Candyman, which is such a socially relevant, like racially relevant horror movie, that Jordan Peele was like immediately who everybody wanted and who was like used to sell the movie. So which is, it's funny because people will always think of him as like that guy, like who does like the socially relevant horror movies. But it's funny because just the fact that they're remaking Candyman shows that it's not something new, because the original Candyman is equally as relevant and touches on the exact same issues, and it's from, you know, 92. So it was interesting to see how they like did that, you know.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny watching the discourse around this movie, like, oh, of course Peele's involved, so it's got to be a social commentary about race. It's like, did y'all watch Candyman?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk for hours. Yeah, we could talk for hours about how people fail to realize that, like, the very basis of horror as a genre is social issues, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, literally the Night of the Living Dead is about racism.
Right. Like, things are not scary if they don't have real world implications, you know. Yes. Like people seem to miss that a lot. Yes. Nowadays, especially because I think unfortunately studios have moved the genre away from that, and we're kind of starting to see it come back now. Jordan Peele's definitely part of that, but more and more like horror has kind of been forced away from that. And I think so people get like the wrong impression, but like, don't get it twisted. Like that's what horror as a genre is, you know? And like, I actually personally thought, cause I didn't love the Candyman remake. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. But I felt like the original one was actually even more socially relevant and like did a better job with those issues than the new one did.
I agree with that. Yeah.
There was things I liked about the new one. They added a little bit to the like Candyman lore that I thought was good. Like I liked how there was like different versions of Candyman they kind of touched on, where like it was kind of like a generational thing where like victims of racial violence like became a part of this like entity, which was a cool like thing to introduce into that. That was not in the original. Like I like that layer in the new one, but I just felt like it didn't expand upon the issues that the original did such a good job of like covering, I think.
Well, yeah, because kind of problem with it. Because, you know, in this one, it definitely is like, it's more forced. It's more of like,
yeah,
okay, yeah, you know, we're going to remind the audience fairly frequently what the issues of this movie are about. And like, again, that's fine. Like your movie is rooted in these very real issues, but yeah, I agree that the original Candyman delivered the narrative in like a deeper way.
Yeah. However, I just always find that these like legacy sequels, I know the reason they make them is money. I'm not in denial about that, but in order for me to like them, they need to justify their existence to me. And I feel like they had a really easy way to do that with Candyman, or like a really clear cut way to do that. And they kind of fell a little bit short for me. Like there's very clearly a lot of things you could update this movie on that I don't think they did. But again, I didn't hate it. It had great cinematography.
It was one of the best shot movies of 2021. Like,
I think the story or the like issues fell just a little short for me. I only ever watched it once. Maybe I'd feel differently if I rewatched it, but that was how I felt afterwards.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much how I feel. You know, like cinematography was great. The kill shots, the framing of the kill shots were really fucking cool. I liked when they were going into the lore of Candyman and the other Candymen. the silhouetted sequences was like a cool additional storybook element that I didn't think they were gonna have, which was cool. And obviously like the final Candyman design was cool. But yeah, no, I agree. It was just I'm glad it exists, but I don't really, I'm not talking about it, right? Other than right.
Yeah,
now.
And I honestly don't think anybody really is. It kind of ended up being a little bit forgettable, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it was unfortunately, it's the nature of something like that.
I mean, it's a legacy sequel. It can only be so good.
Right. And now we finally get to Nope, which nope. I'm just going to say right off the bat, when this movie got announced and I saw the name, I was like, I don't know how I feel about that one. Of course, I was still excited. I'm like, it's a Peele movie, but I was like, Nope.
It's like, it's a weird name, but at the same time, I can't think of what a better name would have been, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, all right.
Yeah. I also, man, I didn't know, because I knew like it was going to be some sort of alien movie, but
yeah.
But then like I see this shit with Gordy the chimp,
and I'm like, shit, that was fun.
Wow. Yeah. I was like,
I wasn't ready for that.
Oh, going yeah. Into it. There is a very sick and twisted part of me that may have wanted to see more of that.
I agree.
Although I'm glad they did it the way they did it.
Those were my favorite parts of the movie. I'll say Nope was my least favorite Jordan Peele movie. Again, not that I hated it or anything, just in my ranking of his movies, it was my personal least favorite. But yeah, like those scenes were just brutal.
Yeah, I was like, oh my fucking God, did this chimp just rip apart everyone on this sitcom? Like, I'm glad you said that, like as far as your ranking thing too. And I wrote this in my review, but it's very interesting seeing people discuss like where they rank Peele's movies. And 9 times out of 10 I will see people say, oh well, Us is like my least favorite and whatever. It's like, yeah, but you know what, like I think Get Out and us did such a good job, like, building their own self-contained tension. Whereas, as good as Nope was of a movie, it didn't really invoke any feelings in me. Like, it was cool, and there were some points I was like, oh shit, like, what's this? Like, the element of mystery was dope in Nope. But yeah, I will say, like, I did not feel the same way I did when I watched Get Out or Us. And that's not to say, I'm not saying at all Nope was, I thought Nope was a fantastic film, but I think it's his weakest of the three.
Yeah,
too.
I felt it wasn't very tense. Like, I didn't find myself really wondering what was going on as much. Like, we kind of knew it was something like UFO from the start, and I didn't feel like the tension like carried as well. I thought the beginning of the movie was really slow, and yes, it wasn't really until so it kind of like it just was kind of tense for me. I mean it lacked the tension for me.
Yeah, and I think well, first of all, when they announced the cast of Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, and Steven Yeun, I was like, that's a really cool lineup of people. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing with this? And I agree. Like, as good as their performances were, it didn't seem like, other than the whole element of mystery of like what this thing could look like or whatever. Yeah, I didn't really feel like scared. I was just like, okay, this is like it's gonna be fucking cool, but I was never like, oh no, I'm in danger.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a threat to me. I don't know. And I know it's kind of like, I'm definitely in the minority in feeling that way, because a lot of people, it was their favorite Jordan Peele movie, and just for me, something about it just, I don't know. I can't really like put my finger on it exactly why it didn't like resonate with me as much, but it didn't hit the same way that Us and Get Out did, in my opinion.
I have a theory as to why a lot of people probably rank this as their favorite, and it's probably because Get Out, well, more so Get Out, but you know, also Us dealt with these socio and political issues, and Nope was just like yeah, there may have been hints of it, but it was not at all the focus of the film. Like, those were undertones of it. Like, this was at its basis like an alien invasion movie. So
and I get, like, I saw people talking about how like the message had a lot to do with like spectacle and like how we like make a spectacle out of things that are not, like, kind of, especially like with Steven Yeun's character, like how he kind of like turned his like trauma, whatever, into like a show and like a something like that, which I get. It just, I don't know if that message just doesn't really resonate as much with me, but it read much more like a monster movie, which I don't dislike. It just, I don't know, it didn't feel as much of like a like introspective movie.
Because you could tell Peele was trying to accomplish something different with this one, and I think that like his love of monster films and like the macabre and weird unexplainable paranormal shit is like, okay, that's what I'm doing next. And I thought the actual design of like whatever the fuck that thing was actually pretty cool, because it was so nondescript. Like, I didn't even know what the hell it was. And to me, like, I think like if he was going to go the conventional route, which I don't think he would have, but if he were to depict like it as like an actual alien race or something, I would have actually been disappointed. But the fact that it was just like this weird thing. It is.
Yeah, I will say, like, as someone who is into the paranormal and that kind of stuff, obviously, like, I definitely think that Jordan Peele did his research. Like, I saw a lot of like theories about UFOs and stuff. He like was able to like pull off in the movie, which I thought was really cool. Like the whole idea of like UFOs not always being like crafts, but instead like being their own entities is something that people in like the UFO community discuss a lot. And I can't think of a time anybody's ever done that in a movie. So that was really cool to see. I did like that. Like, I just don't think it was particularly scary necessarily.
Right. No, of course. I agree. But I did one element of comedy, whether intentional or not, I'm starting to think it was intentional, is when you first see the UFO like swoop down and get one of the horses, and it just looks like a big cowboy hat. Uh-huh. It's like, I'm like, oh, that's kind of fucking funny. But I agree. Like, I think that like as unique and cool as it was, I do think that like in premise it's dope, and like in most of its execution it was well done. But I would say I think it's the weakest of his three.
Mm-hmm. And I fully acknowledge also, I said it in my Letterboxd review, like I could rewatch this movie tomorrow and completely change my opinion on it, because it's also kind of hard because I've had years to sit and rewatch Us and rewatch Get Out and like talk about it and read about it and that kind of stuff. And since Nope is brand new, it's like difficult to compare it to those. I always find, at least like when a director or a series comes out with a new movie, like it's always hard to do a one-for-one comparison because I've had time to like sit on these other movies and think about them. So I could rewatch this and totally change my mind, but just the first viewing didn't hit as hard as the first viewings of his other movies for me.
That's exactly how I feel. You know, I could change my mind. Maybe I'll do like a back-to-back one day, but yeah, no, the impact, like that's the important word. The impact of the film, I don't think was as strong as the other two, which like, again, is not to say the movie was bad. I love the movie, but
right. Yeah, it's just, I'm comparing this to his other movies, not to all other movies.
Yeah, like definitely was fucking, and what a sweet man releasing this a few days after my birthday.
You did that on purpose, I think.
He did, yeah. I also like another thing I do like about the movie is there's not really like a set to, usually when a movie is tonally all over the place, it fails. But this movie, like, you have like moments of like internal terror for the characters, then you have moments of comedy, then you have moments of like embarking on this adventure. Like Kaluuya's character, like very much, especially because the whole thing is like based on their ranch for horse handling. It's like the fact that it's like in this kind of Western-esque setting, and it's about like the adventure aspect of it, like especially towards the end when he's like in between the like the UFO and saving his sister and like that, I was like, oh, that's kind of like, it's funny because it's almost like an homage to maybe like a Western or like a grandiose adventure. But I think that this movie being tonally all over the place actually worked in its favor, and that's something I appreciate about it.
I will also say one thing that bothered me a little bit about it is the scenes that took place at night in the movie, I thought were the more effective scenes. And then he set the entire climax in broad daylight, and I thought that hurt it, which I understand. And anytime I say that, like people say this, like I get that canonically in the movie, it makes sense that they do it during the daytime. Like, I get it, but he wrote the movie. He could have wrote it in a way that wasn't a part of it, and I do get it. But like, to me, a big super CGI creature in broad daylight just doesn't work for me on a horror level. And I get that maybe it wasn't really going for like a big scare necessarily, but I just felt like personally setting the climax during broad daylight changed the tone for me personally. Then like, I think in particular the scene where Daniel Kaluuya is in the car at night when it's like raining, I think that scene was effectively creepy in a way that a lot of the rest of the movie was not. because it was dark and because you kind of didn't really know exactly what was going on. Whereas like when you set everything in broad daylight, like you know exactly what's going on. There's no question about where the creature is or what it's doing. And again, that's totally just like personal preference. I think I don't know if everybody would agree with me on that, but I just felt as though it suffered from being set in broad daylight.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because I actually had a similar thought, and I thought maybe they were going to, because obviously like the goal of it, daylight, is to get it on film. So I thought maybe they were going to do that. Something was going to fuck up and happen like it did. And then like it was going to disappear. And then at night was going to be like the final confrontation. Yeah. So I agree that it does mess with the tone for sure.
I mean, it's the classic thing, like the least scary parts of Jaws are when you can see the entire mechanical shark, you know? So it's like, I will always favor showing less of the monster as opposed to showing it in broad daylight, you know? Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah. I've always been a fan of that too. Like the whole mystery of it, like Night of the Demon, like the fact you see the fucking thing like at the last like 10 minutes of the movie. But yeah, I think that like it's true. Like seeing that, like the CGI monster in broad day is kind of like takes away from it. But you know, at the same time, I did kind of like in a weird way, I think Peele was trying to invoke feelings of like magic and mysticism with it. Like, because the monster like was not overtly scary. It was just kind of, and it's like you said, like it plays into the message of the movie. It was a spectacle. Like I think it was meant to be like, and the whole like, and I think he kind of threw in some Lovecraftian elements because the fact you can't look at it directly, otherwise it's gonna get you. Like I thought that was a cool touch, but I think it also plays to the message of like, oh, everything's a fucking spectacle. And it's like, for the people that can look away, they're going to like be more grounded and be more sane.
Yeah.
Or get sucked the fuck
up. It was one of those movies where the more they showed of the monster, the less scary it became. So I kind of didn't like that. But again, I could rewatch it and feel differently. It's just my personal preference as far as horror movies is always to show less. But yeah, I feel like I'm shitting on this movie a lot, and I did not hate it. haven't talked about it before, so these are my criticisms.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is like, it's, listen, even if you love something, you could be critical of it.
You're right.
And I think that's healthy, you know, and especially when you see so many people of like the same mindset, it's refreshing to be like, okay, yeah, Nope was a good movie, but I'm going to knock it down a peg or two because it definitely like it may have accomplished like what it set out to do in its own self-contained universe, but it did not accomplish emotionally what his other movies did. And that's right. Okay.
What I've come to expect. Yeah. What I've come to expect. Okay. From
a you know, that's not a big, that's not a bad thing. That's it's a different movie, but yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like if we were doing John Carpenter movies, there's always going to be one that I'm like, you know what? This one didn't hit as hard as the rest of them for me. Like, it doesn't mean I don't like him or that I think the movie's bad. It's just he has three movies and I can't help but compare them to each other.
Of course. Yeah, it's natural to want to rank your favorite director in a way that like is out of love, but is also critical. Like,
yeah.
That's
which, speaking of which, how would you, what would your ranking be for his movies?
I think right now it'd probably be Get Out, Us, Nope. But like Get Out and Us are pretty close to switching spots. It's just when I speak of impact the movies had, I think Get Out was just like tiny bit more. But like it's the margin.
I feel the same.
Thin. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the same way, but for me, I switch Us and Get Out. I thought for me, Us just hit a little bit harder than Get Out, but it's a small margin. The margin between all of them is small. It's just these are the ones that happen to have like connected better with me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would go Us, Get Out, and Nope.
Yeah. And hopefully some point. I don't know what he's got planned for the future, but
there's an animated movie coming out that he produced, but he hasn't announced anything he's directing yet.
Yeah.
I like that he also takes his time with his projects.
Yes, I think that's important. No need to
rush.
It's
not like every year is a new Jordan Peele movie. Like he makes us wait and it's usually worth it.
Yeah. So we'll see Peele baby what you got for us. But yeah, that was our Peele introspective and
Peele-palooza.
Peele-palooza. And hopefully within the next decade we have a lot more to talk about with him. But
I'm sure we will.
But that's going to wrap up another edition of the Silver Scream Fiends. And I've been Spooky Sam.
Oh, wait, I gotta think of an alliteration.
Yeah,
now.
I put you on the spot. Well, mine's easy.
Batty Blake.
Oh god. I was gonna say mine's easy because it's
bloody.
S, like
bloody Blake.
Like mine could be scary, spooky, sinister, cynical.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But Batty, I like Batty Blake.
Batty.
Oh yeah. Spooky and Batty. Signing off. Bye-bye, y'all. Don't come back.